knowledge that Yehuda Hanasik. Hanasik had a grandson who was also named after the grandfather of Yehuda Nasiya. The word Nasiya is the same as Hanasi. Like Sifra means Hasefer. For Yuma means Hayom, this special day. Yuma means Yom Kippur, this special day. Yehuda Nasiya means Yehuda Hanasi. But Nasiya is the name of Hanasi. Yehuda Nasiya is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. During his lifetime, when he was the chief rabbi, that's when they fixed it. That's when they set the calendar that we follow today. We know 1,000 years in advance when Rosh Hashanah is going to be, when Rosh Chodesh is going to be, and so on. So, Goy Menei, Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya was the chief rabbi, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He asked the question of Rabbani, how do we pshat in the pasuk? Vikhu Hashem, Vikhu, Vikhu Hashem, Adayah, and so on. So he says, if you trust in God, usually people don't have so much bitochen. They do a lot of hishtagel. So the person says, if you trust in God, everything will work out. So he said, no, that's not what I'm asking. Kamalei, the second white line. I'm not hachik kashim. I'm asking, why does it say, ki biko Hashem tzu elam? You say, ki ko Hashem. Ko is one of the zayin shem shem chokim. Hashem, ko Hashem tzu elam. God controls the whole world. Why does it say, ki biko? Oh, he said, that's what you're asking. Biko Hashem. So he says the word ko means Ba'ala Mazeh, Ba'ala Mabur. That's what he said on the first one line. Whoever will trust, call up Tola Bitchon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whoever will place his trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to do a little Hishtadlus, but then you have to, the Gemara says in the end of Nida, what should a person do in order to get a good Shidduch? So the Gemara says, Azosis Palako Chosel Leifet, you have to date the girl, you have to call the girl up on the phone, make a date, see the girl in person, and ask if she'd like to go out with you, and then you have to talk to her, and you shouldn't just have the be talking to the Baruch Hu. They have to do a shtadlus. The girl is not going to fly in through the window. Not just to daven. So, in everything in life, you have to apply for a job. You don't apply for a job. You're just going to daven, not going to fly. That's not right. You have to do a shtadlus. But after you do all the shtadlus, then you have to offer a tefillah. The Gemara said, what should a person do to have children? So the Gemara said, ABC, and then offer a prayer. What should a person do to be successful in business? And what ABC? Offer a tefillah. Everything. You have to do a shtadlus, then you have to offer a tefillah. So that's, you have to have bitochen in the Rebbe Shalom. You have to do a shtadlus, you have to have bitochen. But then it says, ki b'ko Hashem tzvei lamin, because, how did he say, kol atole b'tchon ab HaKadosh Baruch Hu, arei havei lo machzeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect him, bo'elam hazeh, bo'elam habor. Where did he get this in the pasuk? So he said that pshat because the word ko, what is the name Yudke? Ko means Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba were created with these two shemes, with these two letters. Eder Shnei Olam Shebarak Ko Hashem Yudke, on the third line it says, this represents the two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, which were created by Hei of Yud. Veni Adeya, he can do it. Olam Haba B'Yud, Olam Hazeh B'Hei, Olam Hazeh B'Yud, Olam Haba B'Hei. Kishama Ela told us Hashemayim Ba'aretz B'Hi Ba'aram, Atikri B'Hi Ba'aram, Ela B'Hei Ba'aram. Have you heard what he said? Olam Hazeh was created with the letter Hei, and Olam Haba was created with the letter Yud. Why was Olam Haba created with the letter Yud? So he says later, because there aren't too many tzaddikim who are going to go to Olam Haba. Most of the people are not going to go to Olam Haba. The Yud is the smallest letter. Yud is a tiny letter. So he says, Olam Haba doesn't have to be too big because there aren't too many people. Where's that Gemara? It's going to be later. Here, the line begins at that. 13 lines down. The line begins with the word, Olam Haba B'Yud. Why was Olam Haba created? Yud is the smallest letter. Olam Haba isn't too big a place because there aren't going to be too many people there at Olam Haba. Why is Olam Hazeh created with a hey? It's a big letter. Olam Hazeh is a big letter. But it's also open on the fourth side. The Gemara says, why was Olam Hazeh created with a hey? The line begins about 8 lines down. It's on the white lines. Achsedra is a question, what does it mean? A different Gemara, the word Achsedra appears. So Tosfos always said Achsedra is a room that has 3 walls and is missing the 4th wall. So the letter Hey is like an Achsedra. It only has 3, it's a rectangular shape, and it's missing 1 bar of the rectangle. It has the other 3. This, what is an Achsedra is relevant to Huchas Mezuzah for other dinim. Achseder means a room that has three walls. Olam Azeh is Daimer Lachseder. Shekol Arotzeh Latzeh Tzeitzeh. Everybody has Bechira Chavshis. You want to sin, they give you permission. You don't have permission. You don't have the right to sin. You have the ability to sin. Bechira Chavshis does mean that God gives you the permission to sin. Gives you the ability to sin. You have the ability to slap him in the face and to have errors, to be mecharef and megaref. So that's why Olam Hazeh is missing a whole wall. It's open. Everyone who wants, kol harotzeh, whoever wants to sin, has the ability to sin. And how come the left leg is not attached on top? How come there's a little opening on top? That's what the Gemara says before, and the Sefer Davkani, in the Sfarim HaMeduyokim that they had in the days of the Gemara, it was Tola Leila Karadehe. The left leg was not touching on top. Most of the Sfarim was touching. How do you know the difference in a Hei and a Ches? Because a Ches, it was a thick thing touching. The leg was thick on top. And the Hei, it was thick on the bottom and a very thin line touching on top. And in the Sfarim HaMeduyokim, it wasn't touching at all. How come there's a blank space in between the bar on top of the hay and the left leg? So if the fellow jumped out from Shmiras HaMitzvahs, he was Yotzei L'Tar B'Shroa, he gave up the whole religion, he wants to be Chozer B'Tshuva, so there's a little opening, he can be Chozer B'Tshuva. Moses says, let him be Chozer B'Tshuva, he went out the bottom, let him come back from the bottom, it's a wider opening. Moses says, let him stay in Milsa, it's not a good idea. That's the direction that he went, but he sinned. He's going to go the same direction, the same gate, he's going to come back in. So Moses says, that's not a smart idea. My time with Tali Kare, how come the left leg is suspended in there? How come it's not touching? In fact, he heard the B'tshuva, if he wants to be B'tshuva, my leg. He can go through that narrow opening. Fregim of the Mayo Bahach, let him come back to B'tshuva, the same way they went out. Moses said, Lo Mistayim Milsa, it's not a smart idea. Better is to go to do B'tshuva from a different angle. Don't do tshuva in the same situation that you did the other. Kidir Shlokish, Damar Shlokish, Mai Tachsim. What do you mean Kidir Shlokish? That the Rav Anishlam gives everybody Bechira Chavshis. Everybody has the ability to sin. They don't have permission to sin. They have the ability to sin. The Gemara has a statement. Hakol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Me'ir HaShemayim. What do you mean Hakol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Me'ir HaShemayim? What color hair you're going to have? What complexion you're going to have? How tall? How short? How rich, how poor. The Malach HaMemuna, the Gemara has a Masechus Nidah, it's a Malach HaMemuna al HaHiroya. It's an angel who's in charge of seeing to it that babies are born. So the Malach decides on the cotton, on the baby, before it's born, was going to be Chacham, or Tipesh, or Osher, or Ani, whether it's going to be tall or short, fat or skinny, and so on. Tzadik v'rasha loikom. That Malach doesn't determine whether the child be Tzadik v'rasha, because that's Bechira Chavshis. What complexion you're going to have, what gender you're going to be, that's Menah Shemaim, that's determined. So that's what the Rambam writes, that's when Hakol B'dei Shemaim Chutz Me'ir HaShemaim, all human activities fall under the category of Yir HaShemaim. Whom you're going to marry? You marry a Prumah girl, so she'll keep you in place. She'll keep you in line, that you'll be from. You marry a girl who's not observant, so she'll have you do Averis also. So that's a decision. Zivugim, the Rambam writes, Zivugim are not Menah Shemaim. Zivugim are Bidei Adam. The pasuk says in Echa B'Te'el Yon Aseitze HaRoes LaHatoy. So the Rambam understands the Baruch Shalom isn't gozer on the child whether it's going to be a tzaddik or a rosh. That's what Gemara says. The Malach HaMumunah HaHayroyim decides whether the baby will be a Chacham, Giver, Ashir. That's all. What do you mean? Pick Chacham, Giver, Asher, because the Navi has it like that. Al Yisalel Chacham, Chacham, Osav, Al Yisalel, Gibor, Bigbor, Osav, Yisalel, Asher, Biyashro, Kim Zos, Yisalel, Had Misalel, Haskel, Viyadeo, Oisi. So what do you mean? Al Yisalel Chacham, Chacham, Osav, the person who's bright shouldn't brag about the fact that he's bright. He was born with the talent. Some people are born bright and some people are born not so bright. I saw Gibba Bigvura, so you shouldn't brag about the fact that he's so strong. He was born with Gvura. The Malach HaMemunah HaNei Rai decided, Gibra Acholosh. Ein Sal Osha Bioshua, that's also Zerah Meleshmaim. Timzos Yisalel, Hamis Halel. What is it they brag about? Because you did it yourself. Haskel Biyadaya, he said, the person has Yerushamayim that he worked on. That's Hakol B'Day Shamayim, Chutz Me'Yerushamayim. So the Rambam says that all human activities, all decisions that you make in life, whether you're going to this field or that field, whom you're going to marry, this is all Yerushamayim. This is all Yerushamayim. Adi Yest. So and this is in the Rambam and the Shemayna Prokhmi has this. The Rambam has a Pirush HaMishnayis that's written in Arabic, so those who know Arabic can read it, and those who don't know Arabic, we usually use the Hebrew translation that's printed after the Rosh. So the Rambam has, every so often he has a Hakdamah to something. He has a Hakdamah to say the Kotchim, and he has a Hakdamah to say the Taras, then he has a Hakdamah to his commentary on Pirkei Avos. You don't have that a better word for it, so we call it the Shemayna Prokhmi, because it has eight chapters. So the Shemayna Prokhmi La Rambam. Should have picked a better, but that's the Hakdamah to Pirkei Avos. He has in the Shemayna Prokhmi, he makes this statement that Rabbeinu Shlom doesn't control our lives with respect to mitzvahs and averus. That's our decision. We have bchira chavshes to do. And whom you're going to marry, that's an inyan of bchira chavshes. So on the bottom of the page, they have printed ha'oris from Rav Yankev Emden. So they call Rav Yankev Emden and said, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara in the first daf, that Besa Meralev and Sota, Gemara says that Zivugim Amin HaShemayim. Gemara says, Dovazet, says in Torah, Nevi'im, Aksuvim, that Zivugim Amin HaShemayim. How can the Rambam say, then whom you're going to marry is your B'chir Rechavshis, it's against the Gemara. So the Meiri on the first daf in Sota, answers the kasha, because the Gemara says there that Zivugim Amin HaShemayim, the Gemara says that's only Zivig Rishon. Zivig Sheni is not Min HaShemayim. So what's the definition of Zivig Rishon, Zivig Sheni? So we usually assume Zivig Rishon means the first girl that you get married to, and Zivig Sheni is the second girl that you get married to. So the Miri says it doesn't mean like that. Zivig Rishon means if they get married when they're very young. The boy is only 15 and the girl is 14. So they don't know what's going on. They don't know. At the age of 14, 15, you don't know what's going to be at Tzadik or Russia. After 20, more or less, the Midrashim say that Bezon Shalmata punishes after Yud Gimel Shani V'Yandach, and Bezon Shalmaila doesn't punish them after 20. The reason why, because at the age of 13, the age of 12 by the girl, 13 by the boy, so the personality is beginning to be formed. The age of 20, the personality is more or less formed already. So the Bezon Shalmaila doesn't punish. They don't. They're makel. They're kind to us. They don't treat us as a responsible individual, as a gadol, as a bardas, till the age of 20. Whatever we do before the age of 20, they don't punish us. That's many midrashim have like that. Bezon Shalmaila is more strict, so they start punishing people if they do averus or they neglect to do mitzvahs from the time that personality begins to be formed. And then the Gemara makes their different opinions. When a boy becomes bar mitzvah, when a girl becomes bar mitzvah, so we say the girl becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 12 and the boy becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 13. So there are certain reform and conservative groups. They feel that that's a bizoyan for the girl. Why should the girl be treated differently from the boy? So they celebrate their bar mitzvah at the age of 13, not at the age of 12. The idiots. The Gemara said the reason why the girl becomes bar mitzvah at the age of 12 is because the women mature earlier. It's a fact. It's a double yadua. And it corresponds, biologically, corresponds to the brain. The brain in a girl's head reaches its maximum size at the age of 12, approximately. The brain in a boy's head reaches its maximum size at the age of 13. It's a mitzvah. It's a fact like that. The full maturity doesn't happen at the age of 12 or 13. But the brain reaches its maximum size. That's what we pass on. The girl reaches enough maturity to be held responsible by the Bezon Shalmata at the age of 12. The boy reaches enough maturity. The haskola, the personality being formed, is 12 or 13. And the Gemara, more or less, is at the age of 20. So the Meiri writes on the first daf in Saita, Zivig Rishon and Zivig Sheni doesn't mean the first marriage or the second marriage. If the boy is already after 20, that's called Zivig Sheni. Zivig Rishon is if they get married, they're so young, the personality wasn't fully formed yet. That's a Zivik Rishon. Rishon Sheni doesn't mean first marriage, second marriage. It means early marriage as opposed to later marriage. So the Rambam got married, I think, when he was 40 or something like that. The Rambam was the older when he got married. So the Rambam says there's no Gzera Merosh HaMayim on Zivugim. We used to get married after 20. We get married. Most people get married, that's already, all of us are Zivik Sheni. Very few people get married at such a young age. Anyway, that's what the Gemara says. So, the Kidere Shlokish, the Omer Shlokish, might be Sidim al Im la Leitzim hu Yogitz, or another Nitachem la Leitzim, but then Bali Adere. Leitzim doesn't mean kibbutzes. Leitzim is an apikurus. Im la Leitzim, a person wants to be an apikurus, hu Yogitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not help you, he will enable you to be. He gives you Bechira Chapshis. You have the ability. Bechira Chapshis is what it means, Tzelem Elokim. Man was created with Tzelem Elokim. What does it mean, Tzelem Elokim? God has a nose and a face and a body. No, it doesn't mean that. Tzelem Elokim means just like the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. There's nothing pressuring the Ribbono Shel Olam. Not that if whoever is a God is forced into creating one, not forced into doing anything. Ribbono Shel Olam has a pure Bechira Chapshis to do whatever he wants. But just like there was nothing pressuring God to create the world, he had Bechira Chapshis, so human beings are given Bechira Chapshis. So that's what he means. Im la'leitzim, if the person wants to be an apikurus, who yolitz? He, the Ribbono Shel Olam, will enable you. He won't give you permission to. He enables you to become an apikurus. For la'anovim, humble people, usually in Tanakh, anovim means a tzaddikim. For la'anovim yitin chayim. Not only will he enable you to become a tzaddik, he will help you out. So that's the difference. For the tahir, if a person wants to become a tzaddik, not only will I enable him to the sinos, they will help him. Yiten chaim, he, the Ribbono Shel Olam, will help you out. He'll be misayeh. For the tameh, if you want to do averes, post chalom, they open up the door. They only, Olam Hazeh only has three doors. The fourth bar on the rectangle is completely open. Post chalom, the door is open. You want to go leave Shmiras HaMitzvahs, you have the ability to. Then the Gemara says, my time is late toga. How come there's a tag on top of the hay? This is a discussion. Which tag is it? The Tosfos has two pshatim. Whether there's something protruding on the left side of the bar on top or on the right side of the bar on top. If we have it on the left side, the Tosfos has 2 days, whether the left side or the right side. Why is there a tag? The other, the letters, shatans, gets, have three tags. The Tosfos had the three different diagrams before. But the Yud only has, according to the one pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam, the Yud has one tag on top. The other pshat in Rabbeinu Tam was that it goes on the bottom of the Yud, on the left side. It shouldn't be rounded out, it should be a point, and it should protrude a little bit on the bottom. But the other pshat, the Galia Masechta Lam pshat in Rabbeinu Tam, means the tag on the top. So the Gemara says the letter He has a tag on the top. So it says, two versions, where the tag on the left side on top or the right side on top. So the Gemara says, my time is late taga. How come there's a tag on top of the head? Mark on his bochum. Chayz a bite. The person does tshuva and he kosher lo kesser. I'll give him a crown. How comes the tiniest letter? There isn't so much room for people there. Gan Eden. Olam Haba, there isn't so much room over there. What's Kof of Rosho? Where do you see that the hay is Kof of Rosho? Not sure. If it's the tag on the left side on the top, so it means that it's tilting over a little bit. It's not straight up. It's leaning a little bit to the left. They say, Tzadikim Shabbo, Kofi Rav Shem, Neymar Sem, Shem, Dem, Zavazer. In Olam Haba, all the Tzadikim go. So some of the people were unusual Tzadikim, other people were on lower levels, not two people on the same level. So the Gemara says in other places, the Gemara says in Sukkot, that in Olam Haba, not everyone is going to be Mekabel Pnei Hashchina to the same extent. There will be different roads. that those who are unusual tzaddikim will be closer to the Shechina. Those who are tzaddikim, not that great, will be dead embarrassed. They're dead already. They'll be very embarrassed. We could have been as great as the others. We didn't bother to work as hard as they did. So that's why many of the people, many of the participants in Olam Haba will be coughing for shame. They'll be a little humbled. They should not say him. Shannon Diamond tells us that the others are bigger tzaddikim than we are. We could have also been tzaddikim like that. But that's why it's kofar Hashem. Rashi writes, Mizbayish Machaber. That's the Gemara's Loshen and Sukkah. The tzaddikim and other Mabo, a lot of them will be dead embarrassed why they didn't become as great as the other person. They had the ability to. Shoyin. So that's the kof. Hashem Tzur Olamim. Olamim refers to the two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. We believe in Olam Haba. The Mishnah says in the last Perek in Brachos that Mishikilchulu Haminim, when the Apikursim were tumbling and they didn't believe in Olam Haba, so the Chachanim introduced a Nusach and a Bracha. Whenever you say a Bracha in the base Hamikdash, you say, let's say, Dominic Shmones, you say, Baruch Atah Shem Magen Abraham. So instead of saying just Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham, he said Baruch Atah Hashem, Min Ha'olam Be'at Ha'olam, Magen Avraham. Every bracha he's saying the basic thing, he's saying Min Ha'olam Be'at Ha'olam, to emphasize the fact that we believe in Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh, there's nothing to believe. But here, Olam Haba, you don't see it. So that because he didn't believe in Olam Haba, so we emphasize we do believe. And that's what the Gemara is saying. We believe in Olam Haba, and that's the truth. Kibukah Hashem Tzur Olamim. Olamim is two worlds. Because the Olam Hazeh was created like a hay, the Olam Haba was created like a yud. That's the Gemara. Now starts a new topic. Now we go Hilchos Sefer Torah. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, Rabba and Rav Yosef were a later generation. Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yechanan and a whole bunch of other Rabchia, Raboshia, that was the first generation of Amar Roim. The Rambam lists off in the Hakdamah to Mishnah Torah, he lists off 11 outs. Rabbi Nasi had many students. He was a chief rabbi here. The Gemara says in Brachos, he was giving shiur all day long. He didn't daven by the first minute, second minute, third. He was giving shiur. So he gave the shiur at 4 o'clock in the morning. He gave the shiur and daf yomi before the people daven Shabbos. Then when they were davening Vosikin, he was giving a shiur to the next group who was going to daven at the next minute. Then when they finished, he gave a shiur to the third group who just finished davening. Then he was always giving shiur. Then he davened later, at the late minyan. He davened yechidus, whatever. The Gemara said he was busy giving shiur. All morning, look, he felt the chief rabbi has an obligation to be marvet torah by rabbi. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi had many, many, many students. But he had the Rambam writes, he had 11 outstanding students. And then those students had students and so on. So Rabbi Yosef was a later generation. Rabbi Rabbi Yosef was a later generation. So he said, Hani tarte midi Omar Rav, this forum. Rav said two halachas and Hilchos Sefer Torah. But the Tanya Tiyufte, but we have Tanoim who disagree with Rav. The Tanoim don't agree. Chodah, one of the dinim that Rav said that's not accepted because it's contradicted by the Braisa. Chodah hadi Omar Rav. Rav said the following din. Said the Torah sheyesh bo shtei to'uyas b'chol daf u'daf. He said, Torah, you have a lot of columns. That's an interesting fact. You have a lot of columns. The Gemara says when you have a urea is from the stitches to the stitches. You have at least 3 columns. I think between 3 and 8 columns you have. You shouldn't have less than 3. You shouldn't have a urea with only 2 columns. It doesn't look nice. You shouldn't have a urea with too many columns. The column shouldn't be too wide, because when you get to the end of the line, so if it's only so long, so you'll remember what you were up to, you go to the next line. If it's very long, then you won't be able to find the beginning of the next line. Take your while. So once the line shouldn't be too long, if it's going to be too short, it looks ridiculous. So you shouldn't have too many columns in the urea, and you shouldn't have too few columns in the urea. The column shouldn't be too wide, shouldn't be too short. The dinim in, some of the dinim in the Gemara, some of the dinim in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a question, what if you'll write a Sefer Torah? It's probably physically impossible. What if you write a Sefer Torah in one column? How is it physically possible? You write such tiny letters, theoretically it probably is possible. You write such tiny letters, you have the whole Sefer Torah in one column. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it would be possible. He thought it wouldn't be kosher. That's the halacha. Sefer Torah has to have yirias. You can't write the whole Sefer Torah on one piece of parchment. The halacha says it has to be enough. At least two pieces of parchment that are sewn together. You need yirias and you need tefira, and you have to have a few columns. So that's why he thought that that's why the din is. When you do hakbar, you have to open up the Sefer Torah to show the tefira and to show at least three columns. Because the Sefer Torah has to have tefira. Rashi learns differently on Agma. Rashi learns what you have to do when you do Hagbah, what you have to have tefira. Most of the people don't do like that. Most of the people, when you get Hagbah, you just pick up the Sefer Torah, you don't see any tefira. Whatever it happens to be, you do. That's not right. The one who does Hagbah has to do Hagbah in such a way, show at least three columns, and it should show a tefira. The one who does the Galila should do the Galila to have the tefira in the middle. So Rashi says, in case it will start to rip, so you'll, when you do the Galila and the Tefira is in the middle, so it's a better way to protect the Sefer Torah from tearing. Absalachi thought maybe Oyed Shlaim are not like Rashi. Maybe you want to show that it's a real Sefer Torah, it's a kosher Sefer Torah, that it has more than one piece of parchment. He thought if you write the whole Sefer Torah on one piece of parchment, it's possible. You write it all on one column, it's not a kosher reading. You have to have a few columns. You have to show it has a few columns and it has a tefillah. You have to demonstrate to the public that it's a kosher Sefer Torah. So he has a din over here. You have many columns in this Sefer Torah, many, many columns. So Rav came up with a din that we don't accept. It's a tiyufta for all the Tanaim disagree. Sefer Torah sheyesh v'shtei toluyos b'chol daf adav yisakeh. If every column, every single column in the Sefer Torah has at least two mistakes, you can correct them. Someone checks out and says that you can correct them. However, shalosh, but if you have three mistakes on every column, you're not allowed to correct that Sefer Torah. Why? Because it's going to look sloppy. You're going to add on a letter, you're going to stick on a letter here, a letter over there. The Gemara says, Merci Kiminuma. It looks awful. And there's a din, you have to have a Hidah Mitzvah. It's a Kela V'Anveil. It's not the fun of a mitzvah. If it's Minumer, if it looks sloppy, it's no good. Shabbos, we usually assume that Kela V'Anveil is only din L'Chatchila. It's not Yaakov V'Yevit. And here the Gemara says that Pasol's in the Sefer Torah. So why is it even Pasol V'Yevit? Is it only din L'Chatchila? That's a good question. So the Achrayim talk about that. But somehow that's the Gemara has like that in Gittin. Says if you have ksava gabi ksava, let's say someone wrote a Sefer Torah, he wrote shalom v'shmo, and someone else is going to correct it and write ksava gabi ksava, he's going to write v'shmo. So it should have been good. And the Gemara says merci kimenuma. It's possible even with the yevet because they kele v'anvei. So that's what they discuss. Why does they kele v'anvei pasul with the yevet? That's what Rav is saying over here also. Sefer Torah sheyesh v'kol only has two mistakes on every column. That's not too bad. Yisakeh, but if it has three on every column, be gone. If they don't allow you to fix it, it's going to be menuma. And we don't paskin like Rav. Rav held that he has a right to express his opinion, even in disagreement with all the Tanoim. And the Gemara says that the other Tanoim, the other Amoraim, didn't feel that that was right. That the Amoraim had an attitude, they're not going to disagree with all the Tanoim. Tanya Tiyufte is a brisa that says b'feirush against Rav. Shalosh Yitzakim, if you have three mistakes on every column, we permit you to correct the Sefer Torah. Arba Yigonim, if you have four mistakes on every single column, then it's going to be Mechzikim Menur. A little bit more kal than Rav. Rav is a little bit too much. Tana, there are three ways to introduce a brisa, the Balamor. Baal HaMor was 19 years old and he wrote Hasogas on the Rif. So the Baal HaMor, at the end of Chulin, there's no more Rif. After Chulin, that's the end of all the Rif. That's the end of the Baal HaMor. So the Baal HaMor writes, after Chulin, he has what he calls the Sefer HaTzovo. So he writes a shtick, a cute thing, just like the Yud Gimel Midrash, I'll turn the Dreshes fan, 13 different meters, how to read in between the lines and the Chumash. So the Yud Gimel Midrash will turn the Reshes Fem and reading Gemara. And he gives you his Yud Gimel Midrash. And it's part of the Baal HaMor, so we have the Mohammeds. That's our Sogya Sam. The printers, for some reason or another, didn't print the Sefer HaTzova in the end of the Baal HaMor, in the end of Chumash, they didn't print it. So we have it now in the Tmim Day. They write it in the Baal HaMor, Loin Pacharusa, together. And each one wrote Hasogas on the other one, Sefer. So the Baal HaMor has all of his Hasogas on the Rif. the Rebbe wrote Hasogas on the Balamor, we don't have a better name for it, so we call it Kosum Shom. Every paragraph begins with the words Kosum Shom. My good friend Rabbi Mizrahi Alevi wrote, and he said, half the time he says that he's wrong, half the time he says he stole it from me. Good, and it's mine. God of whom he eat it. He writes that God of whom he eat it. That was my shtick of that. Funny style. That was the way they used to write that. And then the Ravid wrote this sefer, Bali HaNefesh, has all the laws of Taras HaMishpah, has Asogas from the Baal HaMor. They both learned by, there were three Ravids in the days of Rishon, there were three, at least three or more. There were three Ravids. So the Ravid, the famous Ravid, who wrote the Asogas on the Rama, wrote the Asogas on the Baal HaMor, he married the daughter of the Ravid. He married the daughter of the Ravid, the one who wrote the sefer of Eshkol. His name was Avram Abbezin. He was Avram ben Yitzchak. He wasn't Avram ben David. The Rebbe is Rabbi Avram ben David. And his father-in-law's name is Rabbi Avram Abbezin. And then there was a third, the Shach writes, Yeridea in one place. Every so often there's a contradiction. The Rishonim quote the Rebbe saying one thing, and they quote the Rebbe saying another thing. So you should keep in mind there were two different writers. Not always the same person. There were three writers, but one of them only wrote a history book. He wrote this, what did he write? Forgot the name of the book. A history book that's not accurate. So all the history stuff. And Baba Meisen is there, and the story, fairy tales. So that, he's never quoted. The third writer is never quoted. The writer on Baba Kama, there's a writer, they think that's a fourth writer. The Rabbi on Baba Kama. That's not this. They don't think that's not the same Rabbi who wrote the Hasogas on Rama. It's a different Rabbi. Anyway, whatever. So how do we get involved over here? So the. Sefer Atzov of the Baal HaMor writes there are three ways for the Gemara to introduce a brisa. Sometimes it says Tana Rabbanan, sometimes it says Tanya, and sometimes it says Tana, like over here, Tana. So he says, Tana is a brisa that was written b'lechatchila as a commentary on a Mishnah, or a commentary on another brisa. Like the Bartanur is a commentary on the Mishnah. So Tana means a brisa that was written and doesn't stand independently. A brisa that's introduced by Tana Rabbanan or Tanya stands on its own. It's not a commentary on that. So he says here it says Tana and the Eshvod Daf Shlema. That's Daf Achar Shlema Atzelos Al Kulay. Tana means it's a brisa that was written as a commentary on the previous brisa. And then he tells you the difference between Tana Rabbanan and Tanya. I forgot about it. You got to take a look in the Sefer Hatzava. So this Sefer Hatzava, he should have printed it at the end of Chulin. That's where they write it. That's where the Baal HaMor wrote it. After he has his whole Baal HaMor, after he has his comments on the Rif, then he sums everything up at the end in his shtick, in his Yud Gimel Midas, Shah Gemara in the Drashas Bam. He talks about certain technical terms in the Gemara, what they mean. Like Savruha. Anybody learned the first daf of Bava Basra? So there's a Tosfos there based on Mount Savruha. Savruha usually means the Amoraim mistakenly thought like this, and then they came to the realization that it's not so. So once in a while, the Gemara has Savruha, and it remains Lamaskana. It's not just they mistakenly thought. Savruha usually means they thought. But that's one of his Yud Gimel Midas. And he has other things like that. The Gemara has, how come the din is over here like this, din is over here like this? The Gemara gives an answer, then be owed, and then be owed. So it doesn't mean you need all three, the combination of all three factors that the din should be different, or any one of the factors. So the Baal HaMor talks about that in Talmudic style. It says, we owed, do you need all the factors or one of them alone? And he has 13 midas like that. Anyway, so Rav was a little more machmer. Yeah, this is, the Gemara has a teyuftin, the Tanya teyuftin. There's a brisa that's a teyuftin. The Gemara will often quote an Amoira, and then they'll say, but there's a Mishnah that contradicts them, and there's a brisa that contradicts them. So teyuftin, Rabbi Yechanan teyuftin, obgefreh. He's wrong. Sometimes the Gemara will say Tiyufta, sometimes the Gemara will say Kasha. So there's a Rashbam in Cheskes Habatim where the Rashbam quotes a Machlokas from the days of the Gaonim. Is there a difference between Kasha and Tiyufta? Are they the same thing? So Tiyufta means that he's wrong. We don't pass like him, he's wrong, because the Braisa or the Mishnah says not so. Usually we assume kasha means you have a good kasha, but there's a good teretz, and we're not going to waste our time to comment to give you the answer, what the answer is. That's what we usually assume. And the other guy, and we're of the opinion, no, that kasha is the same as the yufta. Whenever the Gemara has a statement for an amar, then they say there's a Mishnah that contradicts it. The Gemara says kasha, and kasha means it's the yufta, it's of gifrek. That's usually not a, every so often there's a tesis that assumes like that, in different masechtos. There's a tesis that learns that kasha means the same as the yufta. And we don't pass like that, but that's not the generally accepted rule. We usually assume the yufta means of gifrek. And kasha means you have a good kasha and there's a good answer, and we'll have to work on the answer. One of the Sfardish Gedolim wrote a sefer, Kashas Miyushal. Whenever the Gemara says kasha, so he tells you what the answer is. Sometimes it's a boring answer, nothing exciting, and sometimes it's a cheerful answer. So my father had, in the Rumla Shas, you don't have, my father had some other Shas, some funny Shas, a different edition. At the end of every Mesichta, they printed half a page from that sefer Kasha's Tiyufta. Whenever the Gemara says Kasha, so they tell you what the teretz is. Whenever the Gemara says Tiyufta, they're not going to give an answer. Tiyufta means he's wrong. They don't pass like him. Whenever the Gemara says Kasha, we assume Kasha is not the same as Tiyufta. There's an answer. The Gemara didn't bother to tell you the answer. So this Sfarad Shigoyen wrote a whole sefer Kasha Tiyufta. He gives you the answer. So the Kesef Mishnah, do we speak about it a little bit? Because Mishnah, the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, is bothered with the kasha. The Rambam writes that the Besdin in every generation is entitled to darshan the psukim the way they see fit. The Besdin has the right to develop the Midrash HaTorah and the Rosh Hashanah, to develop the halacha, even in disagreement with earlier generations. The pasuk says, "Avosal Shayfet Shai B'Yamim Ba'Hem." After ask the Rabbanim your generation. Even though you know what the Chassam Sefer says, you know what the Nedi Yehuda says, you know what the Vilna Gaon says, you know what the Shach says, and Moshe Feinstein a lot of times disagrees with all of them. How can he disagree? The Gemara says, "Bez Niyachon Levat of Divi Bez Nacharon Can Go Lemen and Bechav from the Minyan." Doesn't mean in order to disagree with someone in an earlier generation, they have to be greater Bechachma and greater Beminyan, whatever that means, greater Beminyan. So how can the Gemara say, "Ein lecha l'shefet shal yamech yiftach b'doro k'shmul b'doro"? Yiftach knows he does not have to learn as well as Shmuel. Shmuel is much stronger in learning. How can he say yiftach b'doro k'shmul b'doro? So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, and nobody disagrees with the Rambam. They think it's only Rambam is quoting a Yerushalmi. All the Rishonim quote the Yerushalmi. Tosfos also quotes the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says at the beginning of Shviyas. The opening Mishnah Shviyah says that in the days of the Shammai Vesila, the earlier generation, they used to have a concept of Tosefet Shviyah. The farmers would start doing Melechas HaKarka months before Shnas HaShmita would begin. Came along, Rabbi Gamliel was the chief rabbi. He did away with the whole institution of Tosefet Shviyah. The Rishonim asked, did he think that he's greater with Chochma Minyan than Talmidei the Shammai Vesila put together? Shammai Vesila only disagreed how much of Tosefet Shviyah you need. But they both agreed in principle you have to be Moisev Echoy Lala Kodesh. The whole Shnas HaShmita has Kedusha's man. So just like there's a din, the original Pasuk, maybe says by Yom Kippur, and it says you have to start fasting the Tisha L'Chodesh Ba'erev, late in the afternoon on the 9th of Tishrei. So the Rambam Paskin, there's only a din of Masita Mechoy Lala Kodesh on Yom Kippur. Doesn't apply to Shabbos and Yom. The other Rishonim say no, it applies to Shabbos and Yom. Then it applies to Shmita also. So how can Rabbi Gamliel, so the Talmid of Bisham and Bisil had this din of Tosefet Shviyas, how can Rabbi Gamliel do away with it? Did he think that he's greater than Chochma Minyan and Bisham and Bisil put together? So the Yerushalmi says, no, that cloud, that ain't Bezn Yochel Levat or David Bezn Chayim can go to men, well, I mean, that only goes if the later Bezn wants to repeal the rabbinic enactment that was instituted by an earlier Bezn. They made a din derabbanon. So the din derabbanon is there. So the later Bezdin only has the right to repeal it if the greater, the Chachma V'Minyan, whatever that means, Chachma V'Minyan, how do you tell? But if you're not talking about the Takana Rabbah, you're talking about how do you read in between the lines and the Chumash, so that's a din d'oraisa. Ein lecha l'shefet shel yamecha. Tam Chachma in every generation is entitled to his opinion, even if he's in disagreement with those who are much greater than him. You don't follow precedent so much. I remember during the Eichmann trial, so what was the name? Gideon Hausner, I think, was the was the one who was arguing the case that they should kill Eichmann. So he is presenting the argument. So he said, what do you call? He quoted some judge in Idaho. He said there was a judge in Idaho who said something. He didn't know how to pronounce Idaho. So he kept on saying, Idaho. So the judge corrected him, the Israeli judge. He said, Tagid, Idaho. You have to pronounce it correct. He didn't know how to pronounce the word Idaho. And he's quoting a psak from a shikar ago, you should judge in Idaho. I don't have to quote Rishayim ben Achleinim. If I'm entitled to an opinion, I'm entitled to, I don't care what the, we don't follow precedent, we don't necessarily have to follow. In every generation, the Talmud Chacham who's a Gila is entitled to his opinion. We don't have to follow precedent. It's a question, sometimes precedent plays an important role, sometimes it doesn't play a role at all. Especially if you don't know who the judge was, you can't pronounce the name Idaho. Some shikir agoy, so you're going to quote what he says. So the gizak, so he said, who cares? So that's what the Rama quotes in Rishonim. All the Rishonim agree to that. When you're talking about Midrash HaTorah and Reshus Mem, how do you read the Chumash? How do you read in between the lines? How do you establish what the Dinim are? That's the rule. Ein lecha l'shefet shebiyam mecha, yiftech v'daro kishmo v'daro. So the case of Mishnah, on the beginning of Hilchus Ramam, on this Mamrim, on the side of the Ramam, yes, the Kasha, why does the Gemara assume that an Amora can disagree with the Tanakh? The Gemara says an Amora said it then into Yufte. Up gefrekt, and we don't pass Chalakim. Why? If every generation you have a right to disagree, and you're saying what the din is, you have a right to disagree with whoever came before you, you don't follow precedent. So why can't an Amora disagree with the Tanakh? Where is the halacha somewhere? An Amora can't disagree with the Tanakh. So the Kesem Mishnah answers, it's not halacha, it's an attitude that the Amoraim had. They had an attitude, if there's a shayla in halacha, I can see panim lakan upon lakan, tadim lakan upon lakan. I have a slight in Tiyas Hadas, I think this way makes more sense than that way. So the Rama writes in Yeridaya, there's a simon there, Reish Mem Hei, or some Reish Mem Ro, there's a simon in Shulchan Aruch about the Hayruah Sisa Behetah, the rules of regulation, how to pass from shayla. So the Rama says, a Talmud Chacham who's entitled to an opinion is permitted to pasken based on his slight Nathias Adas, even the Hokkala, and the Nisan Derais. Yeah, he thinks that this tzad makes more than sense, and that tzad, he has a right to pasken. Indeed, in the Fosh, it's not. As the Pasuk in this week's Sedra, it says, V'hitzilu ho'edah. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, V'hitzilu ho'edah means that Midrash HaTorah and Reshus Mem are slightly different when it comes to Malkus and Nisan. If it's just based on a slight Nathias Adas, you can't give Nisan and can't give Malkin. You have to have something stronger than that. Midrash HaTorah and Reshus Mem are sometimes different in Kodshim also. Mar has a whole sugya and Zalmakam, Hein Lamed, Din Lamed, Ar Lamed. If Din B was learned out from Din A, and then you want to learn out Din C from Din B, some Kolot or Kula, you can learn out Lamed, Men, Ar Lamed. In Kodshim, the Midrash HaTorah and Reshus Mem are slightly different. In Avodah Zarah, also the Gemara says Midrash HaTorah and Reshus Mem are slightly different because it says Shaketz and Shaktzen and Sa'et and Sa'ven and Chayram Hu. Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that if there's a suffix, how to interpret the pasuk, you should always go to Chumrah. You should always go to Chumrah. You shouldn't go to Kula. In order to be Mekel, you have to have a strong Nathias Adas. A slight Nathias Adas in Hakam and Avodah Zarah were not Mekel. So the case of Mishnah writes like this. The Amoraim, when they had a new Shaila, and they can see Panam Lakan and Panam Lakan, but they have a slight Nathias Adas, they think that this tzad makes more sense. Fine. But then they find all the Tanoim disagree with them. So then the attitude would be, we're not going to take on all the Tanoim. They would give in. But let's say there's an issue, and they're really convinced it only makes sense this way. It doesn't make sense the other way. Then they're not going to give in. And they have a right to disagree with all the Tanoim. Ein lecha l'shefet shebiyam mecha. Provided that the Amora is a chacham shehigiyah l'hara. That's a provision. Not everybody who knows how to read Aramaic, not everybody knows how to read the Gemara without the Kudus, is entitled to an opinion. You have to have a lot of knowledge. You may think the din should appear over here, and it's not here. Maybe it's in a different masechta. You have to know all the Gemaras. The Gemaras are not written in such an orderly fashion. It's easier to find things in the Rambam. The Rambam took all the Gemaras, which are out of order, and he put them in order. Then the Shulchan Aruch put them out of order again. Shulchan Aruch already had the Rambam. Shulchan puts everything out of order, puts it back in the order that it appears in the Gemara. So a lot of times, the din is shalobim koma in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is going to put it wherever the Gemara has it. So you have to know all the Gemaras and Shas in order to find something in Shulchan Aruch. And the Rambam is easier to find things. So that's... there's Rabbi Chanan Wasserman picked up a lot from Rav Chaim. His main Rebbe was Rav Shimon Shkok, but then he learned, after learning Rav Shimon, that was his main Rebbe, so he learned Rav Chaim Soloveitchik also. So the Talmidim wrote over in the name of Rabbi Chanan that he once asked the Kasha of Rav Chaim, that the Gemara says, even though Amoraim don't disagree with Tanoim, but Rav Tanahu Palak, Rav was a Tana, and he has a right to disagree with the Tanoim. So there's a Tosis in the beginning of Ksubas and the Sugya of Sheva Brachas. The Tosis shows from the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with Rav. Rabbi Yochanan held that Rav had no right to disagree with Tanoim. Rav held Rav Tanu Hupalik, but Rabbi Yochanan held that it's wrong. So what he do in this Machlek is Rav Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, halachik Rabbi Yochanan. So if Rabbi Yochanan wins when he disagrees with Rav, and Rav held Tanu Hupalik, he has a right to disagree with Tanoim. Rabbi Yochanan held he had no right. So we should pass like Rabbi Yechanan. And every time the Gemara says Rav Tanu Hupalik, we always pass like Rav. Here we don't. Here we don't. But usually, whenever the Gemara says Rav Tanu Hupalik, we always do pass like Rav. So that's what Rabbi Chanan asked Rav Chaim. That's what the Talmidim wrote on. Rabbi Chanan asked Rav Chaim, why do we always pass on Rav Tanu Hupalik? But Rabbi Yechanan, like Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan held that Rav is not a Tanu. So Rav Chaim just said, because an Amora has the right to disagree with Tanu. There is no such thing. He said, over the Kesef Mishnah, it's just an attitude that the Amoraim had. They're not going to take on. Well, if they can see Panim Lakan, and they see all the Tanoim disagree, so they say, okay, so we'll give in to the Tanoim. But it's not a halacha, it's not a Shaiman halacha, but the Rav Alpidin has the status of a Tana or not. There's no halacha over here. Alpidin, there's no difference between a Tana and Amora. The Amora has the right to disagree with the Tana. They had the attitude, they're not going to disagree. Rav didn't have the attitude. So here, even though usually we pass from Rav Tanu Hupalik, but here we don't pass like Rav, because Rav Yosef says Tanya to Yuftei, because the Braisa contradicts him, and Rav was a little too machmer, so we're mekel. We follow the Braisa. If you have three mistakes on every Amud, you may correct it, but if you have four or more mistakes on every Amud, that's going to be menumer, mechshikim menumer, it's going to be too sloppy. And again, and even though Zekele Be'anveh is usually only Lachatchila, here it passes even B'di'evit. That's the question. Why should it be so? Why should it pass? But that's the Gemara in Gittin is also like that. If you have a Sefer Torah that's Mechzi Kemenumer, the Gemara said that it's possible even B'di'evit, because Zekele Be'anveh somehow is Mochomer over here. Okay, maybe we'll stop here, because it's going to be a special presentation. We'll continue tomorrow, Belina. Thank you.